Good morning, Cornerstone Church.
Good morning.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Because Jesus Christ has raised physically and bodily from the dead, so have we. Our Christian faith is based entirely on this truth. That Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. That he lived and he died upon the cross. That he was crucified and he died for our sins. And that on the third day, Jesus Christ, our Savior, raised physically and bodily from the dead. This is what we believe. This is the premise of our salvation. And while it sounds very simple, pretty straightforward, we must admit that it is a great mystery. We sing the song, Jesus Savior, the victory is yours. But the real question is, how then is the victory ours? Because of what you did. What is the connection? It is a great mystery. I recall a day that I seem to never be able to forget. It was January 1998. I'm not sure of the exact date. All I remember about that day was that it was early in the morning. And I was sitting there on my couch all alone listening to a preacher preach on the television. And suddenly, I died. You guys didn't know that, did you? 1 second I was alive, the next I was dead. And it was finished. My toils and my struggles, my sorrows and my frustrations all subsided, overcome by the power of death. And to my surprise, death was not nearly as painful as I had imagined it would be. It wasn't nearly as painful as Jesus' slow and painful death on the cross. But it was just as real. And no one took my life from me. I actually laid it down. What about you? Do you recall the day that you died? Do you recall the day that you died? Where you were, what you were doing on that day? You do realize that you're dead, right? Everyone's looking kind of puzzled. You do realize that if you're a child of God, you're dead. You know that, right? You do know that each of us who have come to Jesus Christ for salvation have also partaken in his crucifixion. You know that, right? That you have been crucified, that you have been slain. I don't consider myself to be a very cynical or sarcastic person. But there's this one Bible verse that has always perplexed me. It's Psalm 23, where David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Whenever I read that text, I'm not a cynical person. I'm not a cynical person, really. But when I read that text, I try to place myself in that valley. But an interesting question always emerges in my conscience. Why did David choose to walk through the valley of the shadow of death in the first place? Where was he going? What in the world was he doing? How did he get there? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What compelled David to stay the course after he realized he was in the valley of the shadow of death? What compelled him to suffer that kind of inconvenience, to remain at the door of death? And as we learn from our text today, the answer is clear. That the valley of the shadow of death is the only pathway that leads to the house of God. That death is the only road that leads to the house of God, and there is no other way. It's already appointed once for every man to die. We know that. Everyone in this room already has an appointment with physical death. As much as we try to hold it off, we realize that we have an appointment with death. But what the followers of Jesus Christ have done by receiving Jesus as our Savior is that we have decided to die in advance. Every son or daughter of God has been compelled by the Holy Spirit to lay down our lives before our natural date of appointed death. Each of us have been invited by the Holy Spirit to exert our privilege to determine the date of our own demise. We have been summoned by God to take up our crosses and to follow Jesus Christ to Golgotha's hill. And Paul concludes from this that if we have died with Christ, I told you you died. If you didn't believe me, there it is in the scripture. If we have died with Christ, implying that we have not died all alone, we have not died alone, we have not been buried alone, but we have both died and been buried with Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture says. His cross is our cross. His tomb is our tomb. We have died with Christ. To be a child of God means that we have yielded to the inertia of death, that we have become completely still. Our ambitions have been halted. Our desires have been curbed. Our previous commitments have been abandoned, and our previous life has been diminished. To die with Jesus Christ is to agree to the terms that whatever I was wanting, whatever I was doing, wherever I was heading, and whatever I was searching for, no longer matters. It means to renounce my rights to my own way. It means to be passive in the face of aggression, to be humble before the prospects of fame, to be gentle when life feels so abrasive. We have been crucified and we have died with Christ. And we have burned the boats. There's no going back. We have rejected this world and all of its philosophies. We have abandoned every humanistic creed, every quest for the good life. We have died with Christ. One thing about the dead that you have to respect, the dead are quite content. The dead are quite content, aren't they? Quite peaceful. The labor is over. That probably sounds ridiculous. That's what the preacher concluded in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 2. He concluded that the dead are happier than the living. That's what he said. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, he takes it one step further and declares that the day of one's death is better than the day of his birth. That's what the preacher said. Solomon almost sounds suicidal when you read that. I don't know whether he was or not. But I do know and I can attest to the fact that his assessment is accurate. So can each one of you. Because each of us has already died with Jesus Christ, and we truly understand what that means. And we daily practice this constant reminder of our passing and we're happier and we're freer than those who are in the world. Better is the day of one's death than the day of his life. Our death with Jesus Christ marks the beginning of our eternal liberation from the weaknesses of our mortality. Our liberation from the constant fear and the relentless threat of harm. We fear no evil because the dead have no fear. No fear of pain and no fear of loss and no fear of rejection. But amazingly, and only by the power of God, does our voluntary death by faith signify something more. That our death in Jesus Christ is not the end of our stories. But Paul says here that if we have died with Jesus Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Jesus Christ died on the cross at Calvary, but he didn't stay dead. And because each of us have died with Jesus Christ, neither can we be silenced. I want to clarify this point so no one is confused. It is not because of the power of death that we have been made free. Death is not the solution to our problems. It is not because we died that we have been set free, but it is because of who we died with. Every one of us is going to die. That's a given. But most people are not going to die with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we have been given the privilege to participate in that sacred death of the only begotten Son of God. We have stood in solidarity by faith with Jesus Christ. And we have decided that where he goes, we will go. Where he sleeps, we will sleep. And where Jesus died, we will die. And by making this solemn promise, we have reached an agreement with heaven that our names can be erased from the annals of history. And we will assume the name of Jesus as our own. That our accomplishments in this world should not be attributed to our own goodness, but whatever good we have done should be attributed to Jesus Christ. We submit to Jesus our lives and he gives us his death. We submit to Jesus our death and he gives us his life. And we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. I wonder how much power did it take for God to raise Jesus from the dead? Have you ever wondered about that? How much power did it take to raise Jesus from the dead? So I did some research because I wanted to know, how do you measure the power that it took to raise a man from dead to life? And so I started wondering about the earth. How much energy does it take to make the earth turn around? Does anybody know? I got some really smart people in here. How much energy does it take to make the earth turn? 2.14 by 1,029 joules, whatever that is. I don't know what it is. I know this though. It is the equivalent of 2 weeks of all of the energy of the sun. That's how much energy it takes to make the earth move. If it just stopped moving right now, that's how much energy it would take to kickstart the earth again. 2 weeks of all of the energy of the sun. But death has far more inertia than all the weight of the earth. The weight of death is beyond calculation. When a person dies, there is no amount of power in all the universe to kickstart him again. When he is truly dead, especially when he's been dead for 3 days, how much power does it take In raising Jesus Christ from the dead, God has demonstrated a power far more powerful than a million suns. And by the power of God, Jesus Christ has raised physically and bodily from the dead. And that by itself is exciting enough. He is risen. He is risen indeed. That is exciting enough. But when you further consider, brothers and sisters, when you further consider the fact that this same level of power, this same exertion of divine decree has also resuscitated us, that this same power that God demonstrated in raising Jesus Christ from the dead, he has exerted in our lives, and he has raised us up from death to life by that same power. That is cause for praise. That is cause for celebration. God exerted so much power in raising Jesus from the dead that Jesus Christ can never die again. That's how much power. Death has been forever defeated, both for Jesus and because of Jesus. Death has been defeated for us. Jesus Christ can never die again. Death is no longer master over him. Because death made a big mistake. Death decided to contend with God. In delivering God's only begotten Son to the grave. And death has lost forever. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? It looks like death picked the wrong fight. It decided that even God himself had to succumb to its final decisions. But now death knows better. While in times past, it was death that controlled the schedule. It was death that made my appointment. Because of Jesus Christ, my death and your death can occur on the date and at the time of our choosing. It was January 1998 when I decided to give up the ghost. When I decided that it was finished. And not only can we choose when, but we can also choose how we die. And we have chosen one and all to be crucified with Jesus Christ in advance of our natural death. We have chosen to thumb our noses at the most mighty force in all the world besides God. And we have decided to invite that very thing that most men fear all the days of their lives. Because we believe that death is now merely a marker on the path that leads to eternal life and nothing more. Death has lost its sting. Death is no longer the end of the line for us. But death with Jesus Christ is the beginning of days. And what we've come to understand since we've made this journey from death to life, now we understand that before we came to Jesus, we weren't alive anyway. That the lives that we were leading were a lie. That sin had so blinded our eyes and weakened our resolve to the point where all our deeds were done in the service of our sin. That we were slaves to sin. That we were dead. And our wages were the wages of death. Jesus Christ the righteous has died on our behalf. And because of the death that Jesus Christ has died, he died to sin once for all time. He died for sins past and sins present and sins in the future. Jesus Christ was punished for all the sins of the whole world for all time. Therefore, no man will be punished at the hands of the law. But Jesus Christ is now the only judge. And through our death with Jesus Christ, you and I have already been punished for our sins. That's the mystery. The wages of sin is death. And even though we've come to Christ, we still had to pay the penalty. And we have died. We have been punished with Jesus for all of our sins already. We have paid the wages of sin. Insomuch as we have already died, we have no need to fear that second death. That death which will be eternal. For Paul says the death that Jesus died, he died to sin once for all time. But the life that Jesus lives, he lives to God. And his story is each of our story. This is what you got to get. This is what you have to get. Because when you understand this gospel and you begin to accept it for what it's really saying to you, I tell you, you come to a new level of liberation and freedom in the spirit. That the story of Jesus Christ is each of our story. His death is each of our death. His life is each of our lives. Jesus Christ has died once for all time. He's been raised physically and bodily from the dead by the immeasurable power of God. And Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. And so are we. As I was preparing this little talk this morning, I was just considering the fact that really, that's the long and the short of all of it. Of all the lessons and all the words and all the talking that we do, at the end of the day, this gospel story, this simple gospel story, is the long and the short of it. That Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, that he was crucified on the cross for our sins, that he raised physically and bodily from the dead, and by faith in Jesus Christ, you and I have been allowed to participate in his crucifixion, in his burial, and in his resurrection. That's the long and the short of the whole story. We can make it as complicated as we like, but that's it. That's the story. The practical implications for my life is this. When I find myself in a situation where I am being tempted, I can remind myself, no, you can't be tempted, Calvin, you're dead. I do that. Do you ever do that? When you feel yourself getting angry and angry about something and, well, I can't be that angry, I'm dead. I can't sin because I'm dead. You can't offend me because I am dead. And the life that I now live, it's not me. It is the life of Jesus Christ. This is what it means, brothers and sisters, to be saved. This is the mindset that every child of God is supposed to have. So that we're not just practicing Christianity. I don't practice Christianity. But every day I remind myself that I have died with Jesus Christ. It's already done. And the life that I now live is the life of Jesus Christ living his life and telling his story and continuing his story through me, through you. I believe, I truly believe this, that if we spent more time considering that, pondering the reality of what salvation really means, I believe that a lot of the things we struggle with, that cloud our judgment, a lot of things that hurt us and cause us so much, I believe that if we really took seriously this gospel message and we lived it out in our practical lives, not just be religious, but accept the death of Jesus Christ as my death. It's mine. It's my story. It's already done. I am a new creation. I am a new creation right now. I believe that. And so I don't have to practice so much. I don't have to practice doing right. I don't have to practice living right. All I need to practice is dying and believing that God is going to raise me from the dead. And every day he does it again. I don't want to stop talking. Because there's so much in it. There's so much in it. Are you struggling? Are you troubled in your heart? I'm telling you that if you believe this, your burdens will go away. I'm telling you that. I'm telling you because I'm living it. I live this. Things may catch you by surprise sometime, but you'll recover quickly when you realize, wait, that can't hurt me. I'm dead. Nevertheless, I live. But if whatever I'm facing could not stop Jesus Christ, whatever I'm facing cannot stop me. I hope that we believe that. I hope that we practice this in our practical lives. I tell you guys all the time about what I do in the morning to sit quietly by myself and ponder this very thing. I try to do this every day of my life to remind myself that I am crucified, that I am victorious through Jesus Christ, that I have risen above all of my problems and all of my fears and all of my worries. This is the mystery. This is what we have been summoned to believe. The question becomes, do you believe it? And you don't have to answer that question with words. I can look at your life and I can tell if you believe it. Because people who believe this have a confidence in living. People who believe this are confident enough to walk in any door at God's command because there is nothing to fear. Because we are free from every threat and every doubt and every worry and every fear. We are the children of God. And as the world gets worse and worse, this breaks my heart, as the world gets worse and worse, we sit impotent in our little corners of the world. We sit impotent, afraid and worried. When we have the power, not to change the world, but certainly to make a difference in our communities, not to change the whole world, but certainly to make a difference in our families, we have the power. We have resurrection power. Paul the Apostle said, if that same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, we're Superman, see? Stand up, brother. He came just to be an example of what I'm saying. We're Superman. Two of them. We're Superman. Superwomen. That's who we are. Paul said, if that same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit will quicken your mortal bodies, will make you alive. Let's not just say it. Let's not just talk about it. Let's believe it. And how do you practice believing? You practice believing simply by rehearsing this gospel message in your own mind, in your own time, when you're all by yourself, to rehearse this message. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Three Supermen. Nevertheless, I live. But it is not me. It is Jesus Christ living in me. And so whatever is coming my way, you may as well get ready to meet Jesus. Because Calvin is gone and the master is here. You guys know I have a little charismatic in me. So when you begin to accept this as true, I am telling you, God can do amazing things with your life. Billy Graham shouldn't be the last great evangelist. There has to be another. When you begin to believe this, God begins to use you in amazing and incredible ways, because when he sees you, he sees his son. Because you have so diminished yourself that nobody stands here but Christ. And God always answers Jesus with yes and amen. He may not answer you with yes. And that's why you need to move out of the way. Because he's going to answer Jesus with yes every time. That thing you're hoping for, that thing you're desiring, that thing you're praying for. I challenge you to consciously submit to crucifixion on that cross with Jesus Christ in your heart, in your mind. And either one of two things is going to happen. Either God's going to take that desire away from you so that you're not worried about it, or God's going to answer with yes and amen, because he always says yes to Jesus. Maybe the reason you're getting a no is because you're praying to God in your own flesh, in your own mind, in your own strength. God does not hear you. This is why Jesus said to us, when you pray in my name. What does that mean? Jesus will say, I'm giving you the checkbook. And you can sign the check. You can sign my name to the check when you pray. That's what he was saying. When you pray, sign my name. I give you permission to sign my name. Because the only checks that heaven is going to cash are checks that are signed by Jesus Christ. Nobody else. He's the only one who has access to the checkbook and the bank account of heaven. And he's given you permission to be a signer in his name. But before you can start signing those checks in his name, you first have to believe that you are crucified, that the life that you're living is the life of Jesus Christ. This is resurrection power. This is not magic. This is not a gimmick. This is not a trick. This is the lifestyle of true followers of Jesus Christ. This is the way we do it. This is the way we overcome, by the blood of the Lamb, by the words of our testimony. This is how we become Superman. We go into the booth, turn around, and come back out. That's what I do in the morning time. I sit by myself, bro. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you kind of groggy and you're kind of frustrated about things, or life is going on, and you just got a lot of worries and challenges. All of us have those things. And I get up in the morning just like any other human. I'm feeling kind of, you know, man, antsy about the day, kind of anxious. And I go into my office and I sit there like this. I just repeat, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not me. It's Jesus Christ living in me. I am crucified with Christ. And I just say that over and over again to remind myself of what this is I'm supposed to be believing. We forget what we're supposed to be believing. We forget. We start trying to do everything perfect, do everything right. We become so religious. And Christ is saying, listen, this is easy. I made this so easy for you. Why are you making this so complicated? Why is this so complicated? Just believe. That's all. And I'm going to do all the rest. 15 minutes I sit there just doing that. And my thoughts are just running about all kinds of random nonsense, like everybody's does. But then I come to a place of serenity, a place of peace, a place of confidence. Not confident that everything is going to turn out right, but confident that whatever is coming, Whatever's coming, I'm going to overcome because Jesus Christ is an overcomer. That's the secret. Not a secret at all. Let's pray. Man, so much to say, so much to say. So much to believe. I am so grateful, God. Grateful for the faith that you've given your people. Grateful, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy toward us. You are a wonder. Your perfect plan to save humanity We thank you today, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our King, our example, our substitute. Thank you for the life that he lived, for the death that he died. Thank you for raising Jesus Christ physically and bodily from the dead. And thank you for allowing us to participate in his crucifixion and his resurrection. Thank you for resurrection power today. I pray for every brother and sister under the sound of my voice, Lord. I just pray for our freedom. I just pray that you'll make us free to truly believe, free to practice what we believe, free to walk in newness of life, free to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. All of us are facing challenges every day. The world is an abrasive place. But we thank you today, Father God, because through Jesus Christ, we always have the victory. Whether we win or whether we lose, whether we're the head or the tail, whether we're rich or whether we're poor, through Jesus Christ, we already have the victory. And there is nothing left to gain. No fame, no fortune. And because we have been crucified with Christ, because we have died with Jesus Christ, we are content. And our only desire is to glorify you by the lives that we lead. In Jesus' name. Amen.